We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon a very serious warning that you have for us in your word, which is given for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you prepare our hearts to receive these things and open the meaning of Scripture as only you can do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verses 41 to 43, God gave them up. We'll read through the text and then a few observations from it. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto their idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye sons, O ye houses of Israel, have ye offered unto me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Four words. Four terrifying words. God gave them up. These words are terrible beyond understanding. Consider the contrast. You and I, as children of God, can relate to this. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remember the sparrow. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more valuable than they? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. The three children of God that were cast into the fiery furnace. And the king said, didn't we cast three men into the furnace? Yea, O Lord, yeah, three. Well, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace. But the Son of God stayed in, so that when we suffer our fiery trials, we're not alone. He's right in the middle of the fire with us. A walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now the children of the devil, what do they have? God is angry with the wicked every day. When the sun rises, God is angry with them. When the sun sets, God is angry with them. When the stars shine at night, God is angry with them. God is angry with the wicked every single day. That's how they have to live. All things work together for evil. For those who hate God, how Satan treats his children. One of his children is down in the fiery pit right now, craving for a drop of water. One drop of water. But he won't get it. There is no water down in the fiery pit. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Father loves the Son, but the Father hates the ones who hate his Son. So Stephen is reciting here, or giving the history of the children of Israel and the fathers of the very ones who are waiting to stone him to death. That's their family tree. And the key thing is, God gave them up. Sadly, we have the same family tree that they do. And this is a serious warning to us. Romans chapter 1 talks about the Gentile nations. You and I are descended from them. And listen for that phrase, God gave them up. That's the key in the word study here. So Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, terrifying words. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is your family tree and mine. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's it. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made by like to the corruption of man, to the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What is it like, even on this earth, to be given up by God? Continuing, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit continues. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, mighty whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God gave them up. He gave them up. This is our family tree. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if we think what we just read is hard, it's much worse in the fiery pit. Reading carefully, we learn something here. I'm talking about the words, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Prophets, plural. As it is written in the book of the prophets. But when you look it up, it's only found in one book. And that's the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. But the truth of the matter is, when we look at this, no, the Holy Spirit is not making a mistake. We can learn something here. The 12 minor prophets, which finished up the Old Testament, were regarded as one book. And that's why he says, the prophets, and then quotes Amos. So that's interesting. So what was the real problem with the children of Israel and the family tree that Stephen is reminding people of? They rejoiced in the work of their own hands. And this is a danger for us all. You know, from childhood on, we were kind of raised with the idea that if you do the right things, everything's going to turn out well for you. And humanly, a lot of times it does. But I'm giving, these are not my words now, I'm quoting the idea of the words of the farmer, not my own words. I can plow the right ground, I can plant the right seeds, I can get rid of the weeds, I can do everything right according to the farmer's almanac. But if God doesn't send the rain at the right season, I will get nothing. And so these people that were doing things according to their own works, their own ideas, their own hands, they end up with nothing. This is called the natural depravity of man, and we know it, but we should remember it every day. We can't do anything. We can't. We're helpless. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then we're not talking about physical righteousness here. Even heathen can do that. You can have heathen neighbors that are righteous as far as man is concerned. They can be good neighbors to you. They can be kind and loving and help you. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our relationship to God. And the saying is true, until a man becomes nothing, God can make nothing out of him. And Luther had that right. We need a repentance every single day. Why? Why can't we just repent once and be done with it? Well, we sin every single day. That's why. We live in sin. We don't even realize this. We don't even realize the extent of this. And we would not know it unless the Holy Spirit told us. It gets back to Genesis again, doesn't it? The very first worship service, attended by two men, Cain and Abel. And one of them, Abel, offered a lamb, which was God's way. It came from the Garden of Eden, when God made coats of skins from Adam and Eve and clothed them. But the animals were slain and blood was shed. That's God's way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And the disciples tried to stop this when the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world, was going to Jerusalem. They tried to stop him. He said, I'm going to be handed over to the enemies. I'm going to be crucified, dead, and buried. Oh, no, Lord, that's not the way this works. That should not be to you. That's what Peter said. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He said that to Peter. So anyway, Cain, what did he offer? He offered the fruit of the ground, man's way. I'm gonna worship God my own way. I'll do it my way, and God can take it or leave it. And God left it. Most people look at the fact that Cain probably offered the least of the fruit, the ones that didn't grow quite as well as the other parts, the leftovers. But the Bible doesn't say that. I think Cain offered the best that he had. He was a farmer, and he knew how to grow things. But the best that he had was not good enough. That's the point. He did it his way, not God's way. And that made it different. That made the difference. We say it this way. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's doing it God's way. So how it all ended up, and Stephen gives a kind of a summary here of Old Testament history, if you will. The golden calf, and Aaron made it. And he said, these be the gods that brought you out of Egypt, which was a lie, but they bought into it. Aaron figured he could have it both ways. We can worship God, but we still can have that golden calf also. We can do it both ways. No problem. Oh yeah, there's a big problem. You can't do it both ways. There's no fence riding. It's either one way or the other. And he chose the other. Sacrifice to idols. Worship the stars in the heavens. Yeah. Tabernacle of Moloch. The star of their god Rephan. One-time occurrence in Scripture. We don't even know for everything that they worshipped. Figures which ye made to worship them. Sounds like the Egyptians, doesn't it? And they were carried away beyond Babylon. Babylon was the worst on this earth. But there's something even worse than that. And that's the fiery pit. We have to end the sermon on one thought that is so wrong, as so many people have it in our own day. And we're thinking about the words, God gave them up. Many people believe that there's hope until the last breath. Not true. Oh, but they've got an example of it. The thief on the right hand of Jesus on the cross. He was a heathen person. Probably had never heard of Jesus. Didn't worship God for sure. That's why he was on the cross. He was the worst of the worst, like Barabbas and the other guy that was on the cross. And he listened to what Jesus said. And when his friend on the other side of Jesus, on the left hand, started cursing Jesus, he rebuked the other one that was being crucified and said, this man, we deserve the just rewards of our deed. We're getting what we deserved. That's that. But this man has done nothing amiss. And then he turned to Jesus minutes before he died. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the response was, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Okay. That happened. And this is one of the greatest passages to the glory of God because it shows us the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job, if you want to put it crassly, to search out the elect children of God scattered throughout time and eternity and in all different places on the earth, to search them out, convert them, and bring them to the Savior. That's the Holy Spirit's duty. And he does it. He doesn't fail even once. The closest time he came was that guy and the thief on the cross on the right hand. And only a minute or two. But the Holy Spirit saved him. And that's the point. But it's wrong to draw the conclusion that this is always the way it works. Very, very, you know, it's an exception. And the exception proves the rule. That's true. Very, very, very few people are saved at the very last moment of their life here on this earth. It usually doesn't work that way. It works the other way. And there were some people that were taught wrongly one time in a different church body. And the teaching was that when you are baptized, all of your sins that you've committed up to that point are forgiven. But every sin you commit after that, you're going to have to suffer in purgatory for that. So the way you play that game was this, and one guy even said it, I'm not going to get baptized until I'm on my deathbed. And if I'm baptized a minute before I die, all my sins are going to be forgiven when I'm baptized, and I don't have time to do any sins after that, so I'll go right to heaven and I won't have to go to purgatory. That's the thinking. Well, the other thing is, how do you know when you're going to die? How do you know that? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so the baptism is one thing, and it's a blessing from God, but it doesn't stop there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded thee. So baptism is just the start. And when in our circles we have confirmation, that's not the end of anything either. It's a continuation of what mom and dad have taught the child. And there's going to be more after the confirmation. This is a growing thing. You grow in grace and knowledge studying the Word of God every single day. And there's a truth here, to whom much has been given, much shall be expected. There are degrees of punishment in hell, and those that have had the greatest advantages are going to be in the bottom of the pit. The others that haven't had the same amount of advantages, it's hell is still hell. But there are different degrees of punishment in hell. And so the point here that we're making is that God gave them up. Well, that happens mostly many, many years before a person dies. So the question is, well, when does that happen? When does God give a person up? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. He doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell me, I'm going to give you up in one more week. Don't tell me that. I don't know when he's going to take me. We don't know that. So we've got to be ready every single day. That's the point. There is a point of no return in every person's life. But none of us know when that point of no return is. When does it happen? When you take one step too many? And God gives you what? When does that happen? We don't know. We've got to be ready all the time. That's the point. And so we meditate upon the Word of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit every single day, like the manna came down in the wilderness. They gathered it every day. We do that. We pray for the Holy Spirit every day when we study Scripture. We do that. And we confess our sins every single day. And we come to the cross for forgiveness, covered with the precious blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But the blood has been shed. It's all finished. The perfect sacrifice has been offered. Our sins are covered with the precious blood, and the door of heaven is open to us. And now we've got to remain faithful, and that's by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. The fact of the matter is, God cannot be mocked. We're going to reap exactly what we sow. And where that point of no return is, none of us know. But we know this. All of us right now know this. It hasn't happened yet. Thank God. And it won't happen because the Holy Spirit's going to keep us through the power of His Word. That's the point. There happens to be a hymn in the Lutheran hymnal that gives the whole picture of this point. And I'm going to end the sermon by reading it. And it's hymn number 413. And the title of the hymn is, I Walk in Danger All the Way. And there are six verses to this, which pretty much gives the whole things way, the way things work out. So verse number one, I walk in danger all the way. The thought shall never leave me. I've got to remember this every single day. I'm in danger. That Satan, who has marked his prey, is plotting to deceive me. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about. This foe with hidden snares may seize me unawares if e'er I fail to watch and pray. I walk in danger all the way. Now verse 2. I pass through trials all the way, with sin and ills contending. In patience I must bear each day the cross of God's own sending. Oft in adversity I know not where to flee. When storms of woe my soul dismay, I pass through trials all the way. Verse 3. Death doth pursue me all the way. We start dying the moment we're conceived. And we're working more toward death every single day. Death doth pursue me all the way. Nowhere I rest securely. He comes by night, he comes by day, and takes his prey most assuredly. A failing branch and I, in death's strong grasp may lie, to face the foe my eternity. No, I'm getting this mixed up here. To face eternity for my all for Abe, death doth pursue me all the way. That's the third verse. Did I read the second? I think I did. Yeah. Okay. So now we go to verse number 4. I walk with angels all the way. There's some comfort. I walk with angels all the way. They shield me and befriend me. All Satan's power is held at bay when heavenly hosts attend me. They are my sure defense, all fear and sorrow hence. Unharmed by foes, do what they may. I walk with angels all the way. Verse 5. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds I find a stay when Satan's powers assail me. And by his footsteps led, my path I safely tread. In spite of all that threaten me, I walk with Jesus all the way. And then verse 6. My walk is heavenward all the way. Await, my soul, the morrow. When thou shalt find release for A from all thy sins and sorrow, all worldly pomp be gone, to heaven I now press on, for all the world I would not stay, my walk is heavenward all the way. But at this point, the key thought, I walk in danger all the way.